My dearest friends, welcome back to another episode of the Messages for Humanity vodcast, where today we have a really big message. And I would like to read out word for word these words that introduce elegantly our guest today. But first, I will need my glasses. So this evening's episode is called Shedding Light into the Darkness, a sex trafficking survivor's story with Vanessa Jade. Vanessa Jade is a survivor of a systemic child sex trafficking and ritual abuse within an elite network of paedophiles, including well-known figures. She survived these experiences mainly due to a very strong connection to the spiritual realms, starting in early childhood through several near-death experiences. Her healing journey has spanned many years, many mentors, and a lot of powerful and deep transformational inner work in alchemy. Today, she is an initiated priestess and transformational coach, supporting women on their healing journeys. Her work focuses on supporting women to reclaim sacred sovereignty over their bodies and their lives by deep transformational healing of past trauma and connecting deeply into the divine feminine essence. She is currently writing a memoir of her journey to forgiveness. And that is something I would very much like to read. So I'd like to go over to Vanessa, where she has been elegant enough to share her story with us. Thank you, Vanessa.
Thank you so much, Anaya. It's really an honor to be here with you today, and thank you for inviting me to speak. And before I go into the conversation, I really wanted to set a framework for what we're going to be talking about today. And I want to make it very clear that my intention is not to shock with any gruesome details of what I went through. I'm absolutely not going to be doing that. My intention is to simply shed light into the darkness, because I know that these networks that I experience, that many, many children experience, are really the darkest of the dark that exist in our world today. And I also know from my own experience, and I'm going to be talking about this, that the power of divine love and truth, the power of light, is the most powerful force in the universe. And so there may be things that I'm talking about that you haven't heard of before, or there may be things that you have resistance to hearing. And I just encourage you to open your heart and your mind to listen. And in fact, right now, I encourage you just to take a breath and connect into your sovereign center and to ground into the earth so that you can hear with your own discernment about what feels true to you. And in encouraging you to open, you know, to hear this story, I know that, you know, as each of us are able to open our awareness and wake up to some truths in this world, that we are playing our part, each of us, in raising the level of awareness, the level of light that exists in humanity. And I see it that as this light, you know, expands, as this awareness grows, that the darkest pockets and corners are being pushed, you know, pushed further and further into the corner. They're having to contract to carry on, you know, to maintain their secrecy. And it is my belief that at a certain point, there will be a tipping point, you know, when this light is big enough that the darkest corners will collapse. And so that's my intention in sharing my story, that we will, you know, we will get to that point.
Amen to that, Vanessa.
Yes. Yeah. So I'll start by describing my story. And not everybody, not every child that I knew in the network had this story, but this is my story. So I was born into a family that was privileged. And from the outside, it looked very presentable. And we did a lot of regular things, like taking part in sports and activities. But behind closed doors, it was a very different story. And there was a lot of darkness. It was veiled in secrecy and confusion and denial. A lot of things were never spoken about. And so, actually, through a family friend, we had a connection to this network of pedophiles. And they were all members, I would say, of the most elite ruling classes of society, with the access to most power and wealth in the world. And so being born into that kind of family, that environment, I was groomed from birth to become a sex slave in that network. And what that looked like was that I was, from infancy, molested and sexually abused within my family and then within the circle of family friends. And the first time that I was exposed to the network, to the rituals and events that take place within the network, was in the local community. You know, this is like a top-down structure. And I was around 4 years old, probably, and I would be taken not to participate to start with, but to witness. And it would always be, you know, I wouldn't be told what was happening. I would be taken suddenly into this environment where there was brutality, very confusing, shocking things happening. And of course, it created incredible shock reaction in me. And a confusion, you know, it put me in this sort of state of terror and freeze. And I understand that that was a deliberate start of the entrainment into being in this state of fear and freeze, because in that state, I would be more easy to manipulate and control. And the other piece of that, you know, those first exposures to the rituals, was that I would be taken, you know, unannounced, suddenly, unexpectedly, and then I would be brought back home and life would kind of carry on as if nothing had happened. No one would speak about it. I don't know if even everybody knew what had just happened. So right from that start, it was encouraging this sense of denial. Like, I would question myself, did that really happen? Was that real? And of course, I wanted to believe it wasn't, because it was much more comfortable to be in the normal world of my normal life. And so again, you know, that was a deliberate technique that within the network is really expanded on, let's say, so that over the years, you know, that the degree of denial and confusion is, it really takes root. And that, of course, is of interest to the leaders, you know, the people, the perpetrators, let's say, because so long as we're, you know, questioning ourselves in denial and confusion, we're not going to feel strong enough to speak up. And beyond that, you know, over the years of experience in the network, and it did span, in my case, my whole childhood until I left home at 18. Really, one of the only ways to survive that is that in our minds, we create a kind of segmentation, you know, fragmentation, let's say, so that there is the experiences of normal life, you know, everything that looks presentable and regular. And then over here are the experiences within the network. And there's a divide, you know, those two are kept separate because that is honestly the way that physiologically even we manage to survive those experiences. And again, you know, that's a phenomenon that the network plays into and supports, because the more fragmented we are, the less likely we are to have a voice. And there are more deliberate practices within the network of brainwashing and manipulation and even mind control to exacerbate that splitting, you know, within the mind and the psyche, that, you know, further, you know, just ravels this whole network into the darkness. So the other aspect, the last piece I wanted to say about that, is that there's also within the manipulation, there's kind of a coercion. There's a sense of drawing the children in as if they are somehow colluding in what is happening. You know, I remember being told, for instance, by these perpetrators, well, I have to now inflict this pain on this other child because of you, because of what you've done. You know, it's your fault that I now have to harm you in this way. And as a young child, of course, we take that all literally. And so there becomes a point, again, deliberately, where we feel we're just as guilty as them. And this is how, you know, it so happens. And I believe this is true, that it, you know, many of the children that are groomed into the network stay in the network. You know, they grow up to becoming the leaders of the network. So that is just a little background about some of the themes and the ways that the network perpetuates. Mm-hmm. And then I wanted to talk a little bit more about my own experience. So I was first, I think it was around my sixth birthday, that I was first inducted into the network in the sense of actually participating and becoming a sex slave in that network. And the last piece of entrainment or grooming was that I was sexually assaulted by several men, one after the other. And at that point, I also saw money changing hands. So I understood, you know, in that moment that my body wasn't my own. It was for sale and for use by these men. And it was almost like the kind of final test, really, for me to be taken in to the network. And so from that point on, I would be taken by this family friend who was like my handler in the network. He would take me from my home to different places in the city. Sometimes I was taken to other cities for different kinds of events, orgies and rituals. And without going into any details, there was extreme brutality in all of those events. Hmm. There was sexual violence and torture. And I know for myself and all of the children that not only was that happening to us, but we were witnessing it happening. And in many ways, that was equally, if not more, difficult to bear. I know I've said a lot already, and I just want to give us a moment to...
Absolutely. If I may just say, Vanessa, blimey, it makes my suffering look so teeny, and I just marvel at how you're able to say this with such steadiness, such clarity, and clearly a sense of peace and understanding. So I just want to, I am without words at how you can do this so beautifully.
Thank you, Anaya.
One of my biggest questions around this subject, you don't have to answer, is if these people are so wealthy and so powerful, and they could pick and choose the most handsome and the most beautiful, the most exciting and the most artistic. They could pick anyone of us humans as their partner. Why do they choose children? That is the piece I do not understand. Mm-hmm. People say, oh, it's because of innocence. It's about power. It's about taking the ultimate stance of extreme power over innocence. But I would love to hear from you what you figure this could all be about.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's a very good question. And I, from my perspective, really the only way to understand, and it's a very tricky question, because it's not like we want to explain it away or condone it in any way. I mean, it's absolutely wrong and dark and evil. Like, that's absolutely a given. And yet, in order to be able to believe this is happening, you know, this is coming back to what I said at the beginning, to be able to open to receive this as a truth, mm-hmm. we need to have some framework for understanding. Because if it's too much, you know, if it's too sort of jarring with our own sense of morals, then we can't take it in. And that's honestly partly what the network thrives on. Because in the past, survivors have come forward with stories that have been extreme and have not been able to be heard and received. Mm-hmm. And then they have been sort of criticized and, you know, thrown out. So it is important that we, you know, that we can have some kind of framework for comprehending that this is actually true. Mm-hmm. And so what I suggest is that we, first of all, expand out. Like we really need to kind of expand our consciousness. And again, I find it's really helpful to breathe, you know, breathe into our center and connect into that place in us that is a direct connection to the divine truth. Because in that place, there's some things happen beyond words. You know, there's a sense, an understanding that comes as a feeling or something beyond words. Mm. So in that place of expansion, we're not looking at black and white anymore, and right and wrong. We're looking at the intricacies of how this has come about. And one of the things that has helped me to understand exactly this question, how could a human inflict this pain on a child? How could an adult man choose this? Is to consider that this is not something that just happened. These networks did not spring up yesterday or in my childhood. These are networks that most likely are rooted along with the patriarchy, you know, centuries and centuries ago. Mm. And that, you know, it's sort of an offshoot of the patriarchy, let's say. And we know that the intention of the patriarchy was to suppress, it's particularly the divine feminine, but to really suppress and control the population. Mm. And to kind of, you know, to make the population dependent on them in order to have a connection to the divine. So it's really kind of cutting off that divine source within.
Yes.
And so these practices that they developed were really about feeding that in a most extreme way. And one thing to consider also is that at that period in history, you know, when the patriarchy really took hold, it was a very dark era, right? There were already, torture was a sort of acceptable practice for suspected criminals and other type, you know, anyone that was marginalized. So some of these practices were sort of almost every day at that time. And that I'm sure there was enormous amounts of brutality that were totally acceptable within that historical period.
Mm.
So what's happened is that really those practices haven't changed, you know, within this pocket, within this network that's moved over time, because it's so contracted and it's so in the dark. There's no life, you know, there's no consciousness or inquiry to kind of develop. So it's like this pocket that has traveled through time and with the energy of that era. And meanwhile, of course, humanity has developed and grown and consciousness has raised. So it's kind of this divergence, you know, between these dark practices happening and then, you know, the light that is increasingly here in humanity.
Mm.
So all of that to say, I am coming back to your basic question, which is, you know, how can these men, in some women too, but mainly men, you know, choose to do this harm to children? And it, just as I spoke about myself, you know, having my normal life over here and experiences in the network over here as a sort of survival necessity. You know, this is true also at all levels within the network. And so these men in the network also have their public image that we may be familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
And then yes, experience in the network is in a separate, it's a dissociation. It's separate in their awareness. And it actually, you know, that's the, I believe that psychologically that has to be that way, because if it came, you know, to come into the middle, they would have to really look at what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's just not going to be somewhere that's remotely comfortable or possible for them to go. And so, you know, all of these practices within the network are kept very separate in their mind, in their psyche. And I believe that, as I've mentioned, you know, this is a practice that goes through generations, and not all families. I mean, some children are brought in separately for sure. But I do believe that most of the, you know, that let's say the top ranking levels of the network, that there is this process of grooming and induction, you know, many of them have gone through, just like I did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just that they did not have the grace, or not the grace, but the opportunity, let's say, to maintain a sense of themselves.
Yeah.
They were taken in. And so there's no longer any, we can't use our usual kind of gauge of morals in that place anymore. You know, it's a state of dissociation that is so extreme. You know, we might call them psychopaths. Mm. That's a label we use. And so there's, in a sense, there's no way of explaining it in a way that would consolidate this public image we have of this person and then this other reality that goes on.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, you know, it's only when we can kind of expand out to consider those pieces that it, you know, we can understand that it's not simply a man sitting in his chair thinking, oh, I'm going to go and torture a child.
Mm.
You know, all of this, their own personal experience, you know, their collective experience within the network, you know, this and this dissociation, all of these things feed into them having these different parts of their lives that, you know, allow that to be happening and having this absolute, you know, double life. Mm. And I feel like it might be helpful also to talk a little bit about how I feel like I survived through that.
Yeah. That was absolutely going to be my next question. How did you get to be who you are now and speak? And, you know, I can feel your beingness. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a grounded, steady, clear presence emanating through you. How on earth did that happen?
Yeah. So one of the things I've mentioned is that there's, you know, there is extreme violence in the network. And even before personally I was inducted into the network in my home and in my community. And there were several times in my childhood when I was knocked unconscious and really was on that point of deciding between life and death. And the first time that happened, I was around 3 years old. So, and already, you know, on this human level, I absolutely was ready to leave. I mean, I had had enough of these extreme experiences. And yet what happened, I mean, it's one of those things where most likely it was maybe instants or moments that I was out, so to speak, flatlined, but the experience I had in that moment of leaving my body and being enveloped in this, what I would call divine love, it's the only way I can describe it. And in that moment, it was like a, just feel it now, it's like an immediate healing and a soothing. And what the experience I had of that was that I kind of had a remembrance in that moment, or an awareness that there was something, some greater purpose. Like, I didn't know really, there were no words about it, but it was more a sense that there was more than just this terror that I was going through. There was a purpose to it. And that gave me a certain fortitude that I knew I could survive it. And then the other piece was that I also knew I wasn't alone spiritually. Like I felt having, you know, it was like, even when I chose to come back into my body, and it wasn't as if I really consciously held that experience with me, but I did hold the feeling, this feeling of the, you know, divine presence and spiritual strength with me at all times. And I, when I look back, I feel that this was the thing that it stopped me being fully taken in to the network. You know, just how I was describing that many of those men are, you know, had gone through the whole process. And I feel this was my saving grace, that I always had this sense of this is wrong. What's happening is wrong. And even though it definitely didn't protect me from what I went through or anything like that, but I kept this sense that I know what's right and wrong. I had a sense of discernment in the moment. And in fact, I did. I mean, repeatedly, I tried to escape. I tried to run away. I was, you know, trying to find someone I could tell what was going on. I never succeeded. And I was always brutally punished for that. But it was this thing in me that I knew it was wrong. And I knew at some point, you know, that I would get through it. And at some point, I would be talking about it. Mm. I mean, I don't think I had words to say that at the time, but it was an energy, you know, that I carried with me through that experience. And I feel, you know, today what motivates me also is knowing that many of those children did not survive. They didn't make it through. And many of those children may have survived, but they haven't really made it through, you know, to be a fully functioning adult, by the wayside. So I feel even more a sense of purpose since I have survived, you know, relatively intact, that it's my duty now to be shedding this light and speaking about these experiences.
You're an absolute marvel, Vanessa. I just really hope we one day get to actually physically be together. I just want to take you into my arms and just give you this wordless but very, very rich, very, very meaningful embrace. An embrace that goes all the way back, you know, to the ones who didn't make it, or the ones who are here but not really here. And may your path, your mission, be strong and steady and filled with courage and fortitude. May your voice, spoken and written down, reach those people who are no doubt hungering, thirsting for your words that there is life beyond this. It feels strange. No, strange is such a silly word. I feel very disorientated hearing your tale to stay here and be with it and soak up what you're saying. It's quite a, oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. You know, and I've been sort of studying this for a while now. And still, every time, it just throws me. Mm-hmm. Good, I say. I come back again. I come back again to hear more of those stories. Is there anything you would like to end on or continue into?
Yes, just how I would like to finish really honestly is exactly that thank you for listening. Thank you for taking that in, and thank you for feeling. Mm. Thank you for feeling that. And I know from my work with women today that what I call the most radical activism that we can do individually, and especially as women, is to shed light within ourselves, you know, where to find the dark pockets within our being that are calling out to be transmuted and healed. Because as we do that, we're reclaiming our sacred sovereignty. We're reclaiming our energy. We're reclaiming our body temples. We're reclaiming our Shakti, our life force energy. And the more we can be in that full embodiment of ourselves, the more we can know for sure, you know, our truth, what's true in the world. We no longer have to rely on opinions coming at us from outside, and we can make our own decisions about what's true. And we can also be more clear on what our part to play in that is. know, whatever that is. It may nothing to do with what we're talking about today, but in terms of our individual purpose in the world, because this is exactly what is needed. We need beings who are embodied, inspired, and living their purpose, so that we can be, you know, raising this light, and pushing out these last remaining pockets of darkness. So that's my last thought for us all, that we, you know, we have the courage to shed light within and really stand in our full empowered embodiment.
Absolutely. So my dearest friends, underneath this video, you will find more information on Vanessa, where to find her, how to connect. To everybody who has bared witness to today's episode, thank you, thank you, thank you for remaining here, for being, for listening, for witnessing, for taking it in. And I just want to send my last thanks to you, Vanessa, for coming on and sharing so openly, so transparently, and so, one, there's that word again, elegantly.
Thank you
all.
And thank you. If anyone has any further questions, please do feel free to reach out to me.